Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans, to another episode of Up the Poshcast. It's another episode in our summer series. We're going to be wrapping up on and covering a lot of news that's happened over the last week or so. Today, I'm joined by Ashley, Max, it's me, Harry. I mean, first and foremost, and I'm wearing it, there's a new home kit dropped recently this week, and I'm wearing it. It's got legends down underneath the armpits. Max is in the comments asking me to give a twirl. I'm not going to do that. But all I can say is, for me, it's pretty much as close to a 10 out of 10 kit as you can get. And I haven't said that for many, many years. And I was trying to think back on a top that I rate as a first look as highly as this. It's been a good long while. I love the collar. I like the white in the middle here. The blue's good. The patterning of the legends' names is really simple. Really, really, really happy with it. I like as well that the legends go down the shorts as well. Not that I'll be buying those. Any other reactions from you guys, gents? Ash, maybe.
Do you know what? I've said it already. I've tweeted this week. I genuinely do believe, I'm with you, Harry, it's a top three home kit for me, in that it ticks so many boxes. But at the same time, I didn't think that a blue Peterborough United home top could be so controversial. We've had arguments over who's a legends, who's are icons. Oh my goodness, we've got active playing members, we've got inactive managers and all of that sort of stuff. We've got our own manager on there who's still with us. What a disaster if he gets sacked this season, in a season that we've got his name as a legend down the shirt. I love it. I love the shirt. I love the shorts. I love the socks. I simply cannot wait to update my profile picture in a full kit. That will be coming probably in the October-November time. But in terms of a shirt, it's so different as well, isn't it? Like, I know that it's kind of like template-y for Puma this year. They've gone for the collars with a lot of the teams. But at the same time, it still feels very unique to us. And then sort of the fallout from the week, Clive has been sort of batting down the hatches, hasn't he? And getting pelters from the likes of Adi Moles and that, saying, why haven't you consulted the fans? We could have given you a list. I must admit, I do partially agree with that, in the sense that there are some names there that are on there because of what they did after Posh rather than what they did for Posh. Obviously, Dara's come out last night and has completely thrown Clive under the bus as well, saying that he can't believe that Zakuani's not on it. But I guess that's a conversation for those that sit around the table in the lovely boardroom that we have. But I'm with you, Harry. Yeah, it's a great shirt, and I can't wait to see us wear it.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's the first home kit since I've been supporting Peterborough that I've bought on launch day. As soon as I saw it, I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want. I love a kit with a collar, and that ticks every box for me. I wasn't too fussed about the names, mainly because I haven't been supporting Posh as long as a lot of the other people. So in terms of the names and the legends, it wasn't something that really bothered me. I just thought it was an awesome concept. But I can definitely see why people are upset, especially, you know, you can look back historically and look at the likes of why Grant McCann's not on there, why Zakuani's not on there. And there definitely is arguments for different things and for different names and why they're not on there. So I can completely understand why the fans are angry. And I think I agree with you, Ash, and the fact that maybe the marketing team should have consulted a group of fans and said, look, who should be on there, and then the names that came up most should have been on there, because actually it would have stopped a lot of this backlash. And I think some names who probably did deserve to be on there missed out, and I think that's a shame, especially for those people who were interested. Like Zakuani tweeted and said, oh, I think playing for Cobblers struck me of the opportunity to be on the shirt. And it sounded to me like he might have been a little bit gutted that he wasn't on it, and a player like him definitely does deserve to be on a shirt like this. Whether I watched him or not, I know that just from being around the club and being around Dell especially. So, look, it's a fantastic kit. I think they maybe got the execution of the name wrong, but that does not change the ingenuity of this kit. It is fantastic. I haven't seen one like this in a very long time in terms of like a design idea that's quite unique, and having those names down the side, it just looks really good. So yeah, smashed it in that sense. Just a shame with the names.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of other interesting points that I saw which I want to bring up. This must have been sent off to Puma. This would not have been sent off like a month ago or 2 months ago. It was probably some point actually in 2024, maybe even October or November, this would have gone as a concept to them. And, you know, we talk about Grant McCann, for example, not being on. Doncaster were not promoted at that stage. You know, it's not like there was maybe a risk of it. That might have been a reason they kept him off. But for me, Gabby and Grant McCann, I can't believe neither of them are on there. But I'm not overly complaining here. As I say, I love the concept. One thing as well, and this should be obvious, because we're getting the rebrand, this will be the last home kit with the Chris Brewer crest on. These things could be worth a little bit of money one day. So keep it in good nick. And actually, one final thing from me, for anyone who hasn't bought it yet, they come up a little bit big. I bought a large because I've had mediums that I literally have not fitted into before. Go look at John Verrill's profile picture if you want to see that. And this is baggy as hell on me. I think I could get into a medium of this year. So don't feel you need to go up a size on this one.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that things could be worth a little bit. 2 points on this. I'm not sure that they do come up a little bit big. I would like to argue the toss on that, because my 4XL is snug, to say the least. I've not even had my holiday yet. But then, you know, you talk about, things that are worth money. I believe that people have got themselves some test samples that ended up being sold. And obviously, some of the graphics that went out had JCH's name on, which, look, again, it's another legend. I think that the issue for me is that what they probably should have done is they probably should have done like a hard line on like the DMAC era and gone, right, we're going to include legends, but it's only going to be people before the DMAC era. And then in 20 years' time, we can do this all again. And you can include the likes of Darren Ferguson, Mikhail Smith, McCann, Zakuani, and McLean, Boyd, all of those sorts of people. And then like Harrison Burrows, Ronnie Edwards, JCH, people like that. You can include all of those. I think that maybe in terms of including CMS, Boyd, McLean, Fergie, we've probably jumped the gun a little bit early there. And actually in 20 years' time, there'll be a demand for a similar kit. But like you say, Harry, sent off in October last year, let's say, that was probably when the early whisperings of the rebrand were going around the club and that they were going to commit to it. We know that it has been produced a long time ago, because ultimately we know that DMAC wanted it on the kits, the new badge on the kits this season if he could, and he ultimately got told he couldn't because they were already on their way over from wherever it is that they get produced. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers, and shirts make themselves iconic based on the season around them. I just hope that we have some success this season. There is nothing more that I would love than to be able to have 23-24 squad size shirt from the Virtue Trophy, 24-25 and 25-26 squad sign shirts all next to each other as a big line of 3 years of success.
It's such a good point. And actually, to that point, the 10-11 kit, I hated when it dropped. And now I see it as being a completely iconic one, of course, because we were promoted in it. All right. Next up, we had a new signing, Declan Frith, from FC Thun in the second tier of the Swiss Football League. Behind me, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see his signing picture with Darren Ferguson. 23 years old, several Premier League 2 appearances with Chelsea and with Aston Villa before joining the Valencia development team. I think it's called the Mestalla team, and landing in Switzerland following that. You know, I'm interested in what you guys think. I know more than a highlight reel for me. I've spoken to a couple of people who are in football who say that he's had a reputation about his name, a positive one, for quite a while, and that there was thoughts he could go pretty high. I'll come to Max first. What do you think?
I'm going to have to keep a level of decorum, because when he was when he was first announced, I was very excited. And the reason why I'm very excited is because when you announce a player that takes Poku's number, surely he has to be good. Now, obviously, it's very difficult to go off. He's from abroad, which, you know, we've had Lingren and Wallen this season, and it's been a bit ropey, especially towards the beginning. So in terms of bringing people overseas, we haven't had the best track record, to say the least. But he played Premier League 2 here, as Harry said. He played for both Chelsea and he played for Aston Villa. His return for Aston Villa was fantastic. I think it was 11 and 13 or something like that, goals and assists. So it was a pretty good record. Went over to the league in Switzerland. And from what we've seen, which is obviously just a highlight reel, he looks a player. He looks a player that can control play, and he looks a player that can move the ball around, which is what we need. I've had debates with people on Twitter about how can I get excited over a signing that I haven't seen. And the truth to that is while we had one bad season really last season, that doesn't mean that I don't trust this recruitment process. This player looks an absolute gem from what we've seen, a very small amount that we've seen from him. We're going to be able to see more of that in pre-season, and hopefully he can kick on quite quickly. And we'll just have to wait and see. But in terms of trust, I've said multiple times, I am fully in, like, I trust the recruitment process. I trust DMAT to bring the signings in, especially after last season, and to get the signings right. And I think for a start, somebody taking Poku's number, for me, there has to be an element of trust in that he's going to perform. Otherwise, I genuinely don't think he would. However, having said that, Otto did take the 10, didn't he? And I don't think he performed very well last season. So we'll just have to wait and see.
And Max, you said, I think, on the Q&A episode that you felt that wingers was the most important position for us to strengthen this year. So now it's Otto and Kyrell, and it's Hayes and Frith. How are you feeling?
Yeah. I think it's good that we've strengthened them early. I think, again, I said it on the episode. Although we don't actually have a goalkeeper, in terms of the system that we play, wingers are so integral to how we perform. So to go in and get two wingers pretty instantly, one to replace Poku and a non-league talent that's widely regarded as one of the better ones, I think it's fantastic. And let's not forget that it was heavily rumoured that Leighton Orient was sniffing around for Lisby. Leighton Orient have just finished in the playoffs. So we have to look at that and think, well, there's been a serious one from him from other League One clubs higher than we finished, and we were the ones that landed him. So that pull for players that are young that we can develop is still there, which is fantastic. And I just hope that they can impact the way that we play. Will they both start instantly? I don't know. There's a part of me that hopes so. I think Hayes is fantastic off the bench. I think Otto could do a spell with not starting every game, and having a rotational sort of play, because there wasn't really much option on his flank, was there? So we'll have to see and wait for the season to start. But I'm really excited with the two signings that we've made. Now we need to go down the pitch and start making some other ones, a central midfield and goalkeeper, and probably a central defender, to say the least. But who knows when we'll get those in.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? In that I think that Frith is probably going to suffer from a little bit of an Otto tax, in that if you were to have signed Frith this time last season, everybody would have been absolutely buzzing with it. It would have been a great signing. Let's say that he was the Mason Clark replacement this time last year, which I believe, looking at it, people are implying that we've probably been going after him for a year. So there's every chance that he was probably meant to be Mason Clark's replacement. Like everybody else, like Harry said, I've only watched that 90-second highlight reel that DMAC shared. But it looks exciting, doesn't it? And I know that people say, how can you get excited? It's been so bad. I just think that last season felt so negative that it would be wrong to sort of not go in with a clean slate for everybody. I'm happy to do that. I'm sort of say, right, the past is the past. Let's forget about it. I hope that they've learned from their mistakes. Obviously, the new players, I hope that they've appreciate where we were last season. Yes, we had success, but ultimately Peterborough United shouldn't be finishing 18th, 19th, should they, in the league. So, yeah, I feel like maybe Frith is suffering from that auto tax, like I mentioned, but you know, like we say, let's hope that between him and Lisby, Hayes and Otto, that they can get sort of a good pre-season in them and then hit the ground running when we start our League One season.
I mean, that's so I'm really happy that we've got two wingers in, clearly a key area of need, and we now have depth, which is lovely to see. But we're going to need a hell of a lot more signings if we cannot nail down 3 1-year left players in Mills, Malik Motherseal and Archie Collins. There is no news as of recording on the 14th of June on any of them extending terms with Peterborough United. And there's a real risk here that we lose all three next summer for free. Once again, having probably not done a lot in the league this year, I don't think any of us are going in expecting us to be top six this year. Equally, if we sell them, and some of them are probably not going to be for club-changing amounts of money, how are we going to replace these key guys? I don't know what you think. What do you think will happen, and what would you like to happen?
Do you know what? I think I'm in a position where I'm sort of getting a little bit annoyed by these players. And I'm going to put Kwame Poku into that bracket as well, in sort of like, if they don't want to be here, then let's not like drag it out. Like, and let's go and find yourself a club. Like, let's move them on. Like, look, Archie Collins, fantastic footballer. Malik Motherseal, fantastic footballer. Harley Mills, fantastic footballer, I think, in the future. But he's only played 12 games, like Lod mentioned on the last episode that we did, in terms of current times, is that Poku's allegedly dragging his heels for a deal with Birmingham that's worth 30k a week. Now, even if it's worth 15k a week, like, these guys haven't proved it at the Championship level. They have no divine right to sort of say, well, I'm 100% better than Peterborough United. Like, the ones that are here, I'm confident that they will be. But at this moment in time, they aren't. So I can completely see why D-Mac's getting frustrated. And I'm pretty sure that he said on his most recent Hard Truth pod that he was sort of giving them the deadline of when the players rock up for pre-season, right? And that is the 18th. So we're now 4 days away from that. They need to have made a decision by the 18th of what they're going to do, because it's either we're not going to drag them out, Harry. I don't think that it's going to be a position where we let them leave on a free next year. I think it's going to be that they're going to be gone before the season starts and won't be part of the plans, because we just won't make that financial error again 2 years running, because it's left us completely short with Kipriano going for a free. We don't know where Ricky's going and we don't know where Pocky's going. Pocky goes up to Rangers, we're getting pennies on the pound, aren't we, compared to what we would get if he went to Birmingham. So there is a financial element to it all, and I think that we've got to do what's right for the club rather than the team, if that makes sense. And knowing that we could probably get £1 million for Collins and £1 million for Motherseal, that's £2 million into the bank, isn't it, that just helps sort of fund the season ahead. It would be a disaster, I think, in terms of the actual playing squad, because I don't know where the replacements are. But you've got to, like Matt said, you've got to trust the recruitment and that we've got plans lined up.
Just selling one of those players, and Mills would be my first choice, because I think he's probably worth the most at the moment, would fix a lot of issue. I believe we could probably strengthen our squad, and I think we will fix the contract situation between Malik and Collins, because I think that package as a whole, if it's rumoured around £1 million, £2 million, we'll be able to boost the wage packets of Malik and Collins, if it's money that's the problem. And we might be able to bring other players in with that package if money is an issue. I'm okay with selling one of them. I think Mills is the most net worth at the moment, and then Malik, I think Collins probably has the least, in terms of he's the oldest and he doesn't play a very glamorous position. So that would be my take on it, would be if they don't want to sign new contracts, they can all leave, because if they don't want to commit to play for Peterborough United, then they shouldn't play for Peterborough United this season, all three of them. And for me, that's the truth, because as Ashley has rightly said, it's put us in a horrible position this season, because we really need to strengthen our squad, and the money we would have got for Kipriano, Poku and Jones is A, up in the air for Poku and Jones, and B, Kipriano left on a free and he would have gone for a lot of money, I would presume. So that we can't do that again. If we sell one, I reckon the others will stay, because I reckon if it's money that's a problem, then the contract we boosted. If none of them want to play and it's not money, it's just they don't want to play for Peterborough United, they all should be shipped this summer and we should rebuild the squad with the money that we get. And we'll have to have another rebuild season, which will suck. But it's what will have to happen, because if you don't want to play for Peterborough United, then you shouldn't play for Peterborough United. And that's how I see it. If you don't want to sign even an extra year, 2 years, if you don't want to sign any longer on so that we can maybe get you a deal after these are bedded in, fine. Then go. But I guarantee you that Archie and Malik, especially, we're going to build our team around these two players. These are going to be our players, our spine. If they don't want to be here, then that says everything about the direction. But also, I think it's a real shame, because I think that they'll be our best players this season and they'll really be able to prove how good they are. We've seen it from Collins, but Malik especially. Like, if he wants to go, I don't see him getting the game time elsewhere. Like, if he goes to like a Charlton or something in the Championship, it'll be very rotational cup game sort of thing, where he can have a proper breakout season and maybe leapfrog his progress. So I think there's a lot of benefits to saying it, Posh. And if it's money, I'd be open to selling one. But if it's not money, then they should all go, because you don't want to be here. So why be here?
When you were talking, Max, you talked about how getting rid of Mills may allow us to fund some of these contracts and maybe even more. I've mentioned it before on the pod. I'm a accountant in my day to day. I'm not a podcaster by profession, that is for sure. And I've read the accounts, and there is a lot of financing requirements basically right now, trying to get out from under the debt of Old Kent Road, which has now been formalized, and we've got 4 years to pay it off. And it's a big number. It is a big number. On top of that, we're now up to a point where we're paying £1 million a year in hard cash in interest. Now, that will decline as we pay off Old Kent Road, but it's not going to decline significantly in the first year. And looking at it, we're having to put in capital contributions from owners to stay afloat, basically, because the cash position basically falls down to next to nil each year. We don't look like we're a club that likes being a massive bank overdraft, which is a good thing. But because of the sheer volume of cash that we need to come through the business, and the amount of debts that we have, it does mean that when we make a sale at this phase of Peterborough United, a lot of it is likely to go to debt servicing than to reinvesting in the squad. Not all of it, clearly. And I'm encouraged by the fact that I'm looking at the pipeline that you can see. This information is a little bit out of date, but as of the last account, we were due £5 million in player fees in the next year, i.e. we should have had, coming up to the point that we're, because our year ends the end of June, it's 14th of June right now, we should have had £5 million more through the door than we had last year, which is great. That's a big amount. It cannot all go to servicing debt. It cannot all go to buying new players. You have to balance these things. But this is going to come around to my point, which is that the financially responsible thing for us to do, where we're up to, is to try and sell these players now, because we've gambled to a certain extent on Burrows making Premier League, Ephraim Mason-Clark making Premier League, Ricky J. Jones being sold domestically, Pokey being sold. I don't mean sold, but you know what I mean. There being a tribunal fee for Ricky, and there being a tribunal fee for Pokey. That was plan A. 1, 2, 3, 4, or rather 1, 2, 3, because obviously Mason-Clark and Burrows couldn't both go up. That was plan A. Plan B, some element of that. Plan C, which is where we're in, looks like none of those things are happening. And for that reason, I think plan C has to be bite the bullet. It's going to hurt seeing Mother Seal probably go for, you know, it'll be less than 2 million for him, I imagine, but let's build up the add-ons well. Probably less than 2 million for Collins. I think Mills will get the most money. There's so much potential there. I think a lot of clubs see it. I will be trying to sell all three, honestly, and get ourselves on a much more even footing going forward with the debt lower, in a position where, as a club that turns over £10 million a year, which is not bad for a regional club of our size, we can then kick on in 2 or 3 years.
It is an interesting one, isn't it, in terms of we felt like we needed a reset after the playoffs at Sheffield Wednesday. It felt like we needed a reset after Burrows and Mason Clark left. And then it's sort of like we're here again, aren't we, in that we need another reset. And probably the three players, maybe not Mills so much, but Mothersill and Collins are probably the last ones, I would say, of that sort of batch of players. So like you say, Harriet, it may hurt us short term in terms of the footballing quality, but actually we've seen that the club have learned from their mistakes and they're signing players on these 3+1 contracts. And actually, if Mothersill and Collins were to leave, then it probably would be sort of like that great reset. And then everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet, aren't they? In terms of contracts, wages, all of that sort of stuff. And it maybe it's nice to have a little bit of realisation. At the end of the day, like I said, we are Peterborough United. We wouldn't probably be in League One if DMAC hadn't invested in the club when he did 20 years ago. We probably would have still been a League Two team, or that we may have completely ceased to exist potentially. We've had some fantastic highs in the Championship and surviving in the Championship, like we discussed on the DMAC 11 episode that we did recently. But at the same time, when you look at clubs like Luton, they're sort of following a similar trend. Like, they've obviously got up to the Prem, but they're now backing down in League One as well. I always said that I felt that League One was our natural breeding ground, but maybe without the investment or without the money, it is just a real case that League Two is actually our natural breeding ground, and that might just be something that we have to accept as Peterborough fans.
All right, what else has happened this week? Oh, yeah. We've had Coach Dale Tong leave, and we've had Rooster Kevin Russell return. In fact, if Ashley moves his head slightly, anyone on YouTube can see the glorious... going up to the Championship, I think it was, rather than going up to League One. What do you reckon? That picture. Don't know.
Honestly, no idea. I literally... robbed it off the club's website. I literally went straight on and nicked it straight off the thing, changed it from an AVIF to a JPEG and stuck it as my background.
So if I had to guess, and someone could fact check me on this, I reckon that picture was taken at home against Swindon on the final game of the League One season. Oh, no, but that could have been League Two, actually. But we drew, 2-2 with them, having already been promoted. And then we did the whole lap around the pitch thing. I think that's where that picture is from.
It's the inflatables in the background that are making me think it's League Two into League One, because I don't remember those after the League One, but I may be completely wrong. It's the, where am I? These like blue and white things that are making me think it was the League Two, because I think that there was more fanfare around the League Two promotion as it was our first promotion rather than the second one.
So, I mean, Dale used to be at Rotherham and has gone back into, he's assistant manager there now, isn't he? Which is a good move for him, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a promotion for him. I'm surprised in a sense. Like, he's clearly a very good coach on the training pitch, but it always felt like we were missing something, right? And I know that Rooster's come in as a coach as well. It feels like we're sort of missing something. But then at the same time, I look at it now and I think that we've got Fergie, we've got Scarfin, we've got Rooster. What a three that is in terms of young player development. I don't know exactly where Rooster's been, but I think it's potentially Stoke that he's been working with academy teams and young players. So all the way up to the 23. So he's got that experience over like the last 5 years. Scarfy, we know, loves the academy and was part of the academy. And Fergie has clearly enjoyed working with the young team, despite how frustrating they may have been. So I actually think, and Lod's tweeted it, that this is probably getting Rooster in as a coach, as the first team coach, is probably a better signing than any player that we will sign, because of the impact that it will have on the squad overall. So I must admit, I'm excited by it. If he can figure out how to defend corners and score from corners, then, you know, he's definitely one up on Dale Tong, that's for sure. But, you know, I think it was right for Dale Tong to go back up to a club in Yorkshire. It was a no-brainer. He was travelling down from Barnsley every day. He was like, that's 4 hours of your life that you're never getting back. He's got young kids as well at home that he probably didn't want to move down. So I think it's definitely the right thing for Dale Tong, and we can only sort of wish him well in his career and look forward to seeing him when we play Rotherham a couple of times.
Yeah, I've actually just had a look. Rooster's been in, as you say, mostly part of the Stoke under-21/under-23s and did have a season as their under-23s manager. He was also very, very briefly assistant manager at Cheltenham Town. I mean, yeah, they fundamentally, let's hope it's all about the attacking football here. And I think that one thing that we may not appreciate that could now happen is that from the view that Roosters had at a more academy level, championship team academy level, he's going to have seen some of these players who come through who are of the mould, who are capable of building the ball up the pitch, because we're probably losing Kyprianou and Collins compared to previous years. He's going to know there is an 18-year-old, 19-year-old gem out there right now in a championship academy who is looking at 2 to 3 years wait to start. And he might say to Fergie, I'm telling you, he will bite a chance at a League One team to go and be the new focal point of the midfield at a club like Posh. And I can see that happening. Quite enjoying this. I'm enjoying sort of like a, I feel like a newscaster, you know, like an anchor on local BBC.
Anchor, more like wanker.
Let's get on to the pre-season schedule later. We've also just one quick shout out to the club on their stadium tours that they've got going on. Have you done one of these yet, Ashley? Planning on doing one?
Do you know what? They're probably a little bit too soon for Imogen. Maybe next season, maybe the season after I would do it. But as somebody that's had sort of like that access all areas, like when you go in the sponsors lounge and you play on the pitch and stuff, it seems like everybody that's had one has had a great time. And I think that it's something like everybody wants that like snippet of, oh, can I see something that I don't normally see on a match day? And it seems like the stadium tours have gone down really well. Obviously, the only other thing that I'd say that we did offer that was niche as well was that we offered those Father's Day packages for sort of an hour-long photo shoot with Joe Dent, which again, you know, it's another thing that gives people that access to things that they wouldn't normally get on a match day. So, and helps them form that bond with the club, because I would definitely say that last season pushed fans away. And that was another thing that I wanted to mention, is that I listened back, like the psychopath thing to do, I listened back to some of the early DMAC episodes from The Hard Truth from this season. And one of the things that he mentioned was that they had a Project 10K on. Now,
Ash, I'm just going to interrupt you. It's not just this season, is it? Do you do this every year?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I like to go back and listen to the things and see what's happened. And I'll do a debrief maybe of things that we maybe haven't got or things that we did get. And like I say, is that we were expecting 10K this season. I actually think, and credit where it's due, regardless of how many free tickets, regardless of how many away fans, regardless of how many grassroots tickets there were on offer, to have sustained the 9,000 average attendance when we were so crap this year is actually really good. And it shows that the football club is growing, and the new club shop, the stadium tours, the photo events with Joe, like these are all things that are just going to help build that relationship with the fans, with the club, and ultimately strengthen us. Like that really feels like the gold family award as well. Like all of those things, it really feels like everything's starting to piece together to be a really like good unit of a club, and everything's coming together. And I don't want to be part of that divide either. So, you know, everything sort of feels like it's trending in the right direction off the pitch. I just hope that we can get it right on the pitch.
Nice. You're always tempted to me to go do a stadium tour, Ashley. Pre-season, I think we're pretty much there with the schedule. We already knew no home games, disappointing, but it is what it is. Also, if the pitch is in incredible nick for the rest of next season, then it may well be worth it. The schedule so far, which is likely to be the final one, but you never know. On the 5th of July, we have Leicester City at their training ground. No tickets available, confirmed by Clive on Twitter through his personal account. Let's hope everyone who wanted to go to that follows Clive. Stamford, the Daniels on the 8th. We've got Peterborough Sport on Tuesday 15th, 7:45. King's Lynn on, that must be a, is that Friday night, King's Lynn, 18th? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, I was just looking at that date because it's Boston on the 19th. I will be going to that one, my first time going to Boston's stadium. And wrapping it up at Grimsby on the 26th of July before the season starts on the 2nd of August, 3rd of August, I think. 1st of August, 2nd of August. Go on, Ashley, correct me.
Look, they say it's the 2nd, right? But we all know that there'll be a Friday night game, don't we? And it'll be the 1st of August. Now, this is where I'm going to be fucking fuming because I'm flying back from Turkey on the 1st of August. So if our game gets moved from the 2nd to the 1st, I'm going to be absolutely seething because I will be in the sky as the game kicks off.
Sounds like another vlog idea, Ashley. Yeah, but looking at that, pretty full-on schedule. Not really because of the quality of the opposition necessarily, but because of the speed, thick and fast, how quick those games are coming, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. They are coming fast, and that's something that the squad will be. It'll be good to have a rigorous pre-season. Like I'll you know, put them to the ringer a bit, let them know that they've got to work their ass off this season to get us to where we want to be. What I was disappointed by, and only a little bit disappointed. Like I'm happy with the game schedule. I would have really liked a double header. I think last season we played Notts County twice. And it was just a fantastic day. Like I just sat in the stadium in the sun with my friends and watched us play Notts County two times, and it was such a nice day out. And they have it like bang on how they do it, which is great. And I wish just a little bit that we had one this season. I can't complain about the games. Pre-season is always usually lower quality regardless. And I will now know not to get excited if anybody scores a hat-trick at Stamford or Peterborough Sports like I did last year. But I'm excited about all the pre-season fixtures. I'm really looking forward to going to Grimsby. I haven't been there, and I'm looking forward to going to a lot of the lower league grounds too. It's always nice to go have a look at the squad, see where we're at, see, you know, how they can handle this high intensity pre-season that we've got planned for them, and see where we end up.
Yeah, look, I don't think we'll make the same mistake twice. Last season's pre-season felt very slow and like low paced in terms of, yes, we absolutely dick teams like Stamford, Spalding, all of those sorts, and we still need to play those because they're our local teams. The disappointment comes when you don't feel like the players truly appreciate the games that they're playing in. And actually, in the wrong sort of way, you'd kind of hope that we beat Leicester and then we have a few like knockbacks against the likes of King's Lynn, Boston, Grimsby, just to sort of keep us level as we head into the season. Like obviously, Notts County was the last pre-season game that we played last season and we beat them in both games, I think it was. One was like a 1-0 and then the other was maybe like a 4-3 potentially, I think it was. So that maybe sort of set our expectations a little bit too low in terms of how easy we maybe thought that things were going to be. So it, not to, that I want us to lose, but maybe it would be nice just to sort of keep the players grounded so that whoever we have in that first weekend of the season, we aren't going in expecting to be world beaters.
I recall everyone thinking that Joe Tomlinson was going to be the next big thing after an unbelievable performance against, I actually forget who it was. Somebody tell me if you can remember, but I think he scored two or an assisted one in a 7-0 win. And he then went on to do nothing for us and has been okay in League Two. It's a risky time pre-season because players, as Ashley's just said, can look amazing but not do well, or they can lose the game and we can all massively overreact. Fundamentally, I think it's all about just getting up to race pace. Just make sure that on that first game of the season, that there's no 90th minute goals conceded because we're out of breath. Not something I've ever really thought is an issue for Peterborough United, but it's about making sure that pre-season is a fitness exercise first and foremost. That is what I care about. As we have been recording, we have breaking news literally in the last 2 minutes Ricky J. Jones has found a new club. Ricky J. Jones has signed for St. Pauli in the Bundesliga, team that finished 14th last year, stayed up. So to confirm, he will be playing against Harry Kane next year, among others. And this has shafted Peterborough United out of probably $750,000 minimum, maybe up to $1 million if we had to guess what the tribunal might have been. It's not the outcome we wanted. It's a fantastic move for him as a first gut instinct. The only thing I know about St. Pauli, I had in my mind that they're like a big, big anti-racism club. And I did actually, when I Googled it, I saw it was pretty much the first thing that popped up. They're very big on the kind of off-field inclusion issues. So credit to them for that. Beyond that, I don't know a lot about St. Pauli or how they play or whether Ricky's going to fit in. But what we do know is that this is not the outcome that the back office staff at Peterborough United would have wanted with him not staying domestically.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's ruined my Saturday. We are financially fucked. Ricky posted a video last night. It was a good video of his highlights. There were some fucking great moments in there. I think back to the goals that he scored against Cambridge, the goal at Derby, the goal against Burnley, places like Newport where he came back and essentially won us the game. This is a Peterborough lad that's been here since he was 9 years old, and he has well and truly fucked us in terms of, thanks for that, I'm off, see you later, you're not going to get a penny for me. Look, I've been one of Ricky's biggest defenders. Football is a short career. I completely appreciate that. And he's done the right move for himself. But I feel like he's totally thrown the football club under the bus by not signing a contract extension, by not staying with a club in England so that we can get some form of compensation. He's essentially gone for nothing now, I would assume. I don't think that we'll get a great deal from him. So, you know, I guess thanks Ricky J. Jones for that. You know, see what happens with the football club and where that leaves us with the financials. I'm sure that Harry will be able to give us an update in 2 years' time when we've got no money left.
I think it's very difficult for me to sit here and blame Ricky J. Jones for this. I think it's a fantastic move for him to play in the Bundesliga at his age, regardless of where the club finished last season. It's great. And there's clearly a project that believes in him. It's a great signing for both parties, I think. And Ricky J. Jones especially. Now, yes, it's terrible for us because we lose money. You know, we lost money from Burrows in the playoff final. We've lost money again today. But I think we have to look at this on a broader spectrum, which is if they weren't going to sign new deals, we should have sold them last summer. And that should have been it. I think it was an error. Although I've said without them, I think we probably would have got relegated. And I still do think that regardless, they should have been sold last summer if we were this financially like destroyed, that by losing 750K, it's going to financially fuck us for the summer. And that's the fact. And if I knew that now, obviously I probably would sell. And I would have taken going to League Two, but we would have got a lump sum of money and probably been able to get out of League Two and sort of restructure probably even better than we would be able to do in League One. So I think there was definitely an issue from the finance side in terms of the sales of players, which is frustrating because it's now left us in this position. But look, if I played for Peterborough and my contract ended and I got offers from top end League One in the Championship, or I got an offer from the Bundesliga, I know where I'm going. And I find it quite difficult for myself to blame Ricky for that. What a fantastic move for him. And I really hope he smashes it over there.
I've just had a quick look. I think for Ricky, this will be very lucrative. I reckon if we'd offered him a contract, we'd have probably offered him $7,000-$8,000 a year. $7,000-$8,000 a week, something like that. The top 19 players at St. Pauli, according to the salary website, are earning more than that. And he's probably going to be in the top 11 earners, having just signed for them on a free, because you can always offer more to a player that you didn't have a transfer fee for. He's going to be set up very well for this. And of course, the exposure from being in the Bundesliga is massive. I'm not necessarily surprised he has he's gone down this route. I wonder if there was anything equivalent in England for him. Probably not.
I guess the truth is we will never know, but DMAT's come out and tweeted whilst we're recording. He's turned down four brilliant championship clubs to do this move, which has cost his hometown club a lot of money. Not going to lie, it stings and makes me bitter for the moment as the kid has been with us so many years. I couldn't have been more supportive of him. But we move on and don't look back. This is football and it can kick you in the nuts sometimes, which is pretty much exactly how I feel. You put your life and soul into showing people that they are going to be fantastic footballers. And clearly, St. Pauli think that. But in terms of Peterborough United, it stinks. It's absolutely rotten from Ricky, and I am not best pleased in the slightest.
I wonder how many players care about when they come back to Peterborough United, having had a big stint with us, getting a good reception from the fans. Because it's kind of, it's interesting, isn't it? That it is, I actually think it is not hard to stay in the good books of our fan base. Johnson Clark-Harris clapped at Rotherham, the most recent example, when he came over, people chanting his name. And he, you know, he got his double golden boot winner. You got something, Ash?
Even somebody like Jack Marriott, he came and scored against us for buddy Wrexham, yeah. And he still got applauded when he came off, right?
Yeah, I remember Aaron McLean at Hull. He scored against us at London Road. Hull won that game 1-0. Came over, clapped for the London Road end. Other players get booed because they show, or they certainly don't show enough of giving something back to the club in any way they can, or that they don't owe the club anything when they leave. And man, Ricky, if Ricky had got us promoted, then the money from that would have dwarfed any sell-on fee. But what did he do for us other than now essentially screw us out of $750,000 plus, except for a few highlight moments? But a lot of players do that. It is a real shame. I'm with DMAC on this. I don't think Ricky will. I think Ricky will now fall into the same category that Leo da Silva Lopez is in. Someone who had a lot of potential, went abroad. We never think about again. And he could have had a lot more. Shame. It's a real shame.
Do you know what the frustrating thing is? Is that we as fans get frustrated that players don't express themselves on their socials and share that bond that they have whilst they're at the club. And then at the same time, somebody like Ricky goes and says how much he cares about the club and how much it means to him. It's just pure bloody ChatGPT spiel, isn't it? Like, realistically, like, write me an Instagram post that shows how much I care about Peterborough United. It's total bullshit, and I'm just fucking ruined my Saturday, that is.
Right. I think we're there on that bombshell. Next up, it'll no doubt be Kwame Poku going to Las Palmas in La Liga or something like that. Imagine if that actually happens now. Thank you all for listening. We have another episode out. We dropped a midweek episode on the all-time DMAC 11. Great one for anyone who's been a fan since 2006 or earlier, to go down memory lane on a load of players that we all saw over the course of the 2000s, really, and also some of them even more recently may or may not have made the 11, much to Ashley's disappointment in one position in particular. You'll have to go watch the episode to see what I'm referring to. But other than that, let us know your thoughts on Ricky. Let us know your thoughts on pre-season. Let us know your thoughts on Rooster. Let us know your thoughts on anything you fancy in the comments. Please like and subscribe. It helps the channel so much. We've been delighted to see how much engagement we've been getting over the summer. We really appreciate everyone continuing to listen, even while there's no football on. The summer series draws to a close soon enough when pre-season starts in a couple of weeks' time. But for now, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
How's the hay fever, Max?
I'm dead.
Blow your nose, for fuck's sake.
I've been blowing it, but I had no tissue, and then I needed a hay fever tablet, and I was like, I'm dying. I am actually dying.
The worst bit was when you were speaking, and obviously you weren't unmuted, and then all of a sudden you had to like just do this like in and out.
I could just blow my nose mid-sentence. So nasally.